saints, perhaps even weeks or longer, just stressed out, just full of anxiety, just no peace, sleepless nights, restless nights. Most of us probably can relate. Well, let me tell you this morning about put your shoes on. As a child of God, as a recipient of the free gift of salvation, you and I have peace with God. And the fact that we have peace with God, that means, listen, that the peace of God is available. We live in a very stressful world, a very chaotic world. You and I got to make sure you got the right thing on your feet. You got to make sure you put your shoes on, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. All of us need peace. I know this guy, he's always said, he said, man, all I need is a peace of mind and a good night's sleep. He said, if I have that, I can be okay. But all of us need peace. We're in a spiritual battle, beloved, and so you need to shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, we've already looked at the first two pieces of armor in this warfare, and what we are wearing. We've girded our loins with the belt of truth. We got on the belt of truth, and we put on the breastplate of righteousness. So this morning, I want to encourage you once again to put your shoes on, to put on the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. The gospel, G-O-S-P-E-L. The gospel, God's only son, provides eternal life. Because of God's glorious gospel, we have, listen, hear this well. I'm going to say this several times today. We have peace with God. Before you and I came to Christ, before the gospel was revealed to us, you and I were enemies of God. You and I were at enmity against God. We were actually literally warring against God. You might not have even realized it, but you and I were enemies of God. But now, because of Christ, because of the gospel, we have peace with God. Peace with God. And knowing that you have peace with God, you have right relationship with God, that should bring you the peace of God. As we encounter this enemy on this spiritual battle, as long as you keep the gospel in your heart, as long as you keep the gospel in your heart and in your head, once again, you can have peace and you can live victoriously. We just sang about victory, right? You know, in Christ, we have the victory. In Christ, we have the victory. In Christ, we have the victory. You know, this imagery as Paul writes this to the church at Ephesus, to the church that loved fellowship, he was using the imagery of the Roman soldier. And so he talks about shodding our feet with the gospel of peace. The Roman soldier, their boots, the boots that they would wear, they would have spikes or nails in the soles or bottoms of their boots to help them to grip the ground, especially when they were in hand-to-hand combat against the enemy. They needed those spikes, those nails in their boots to give them stability as they were fighting hand-to-hand. Kind of like even in this football season, kind of like football cleats or that type of thing. Something to give you the right type of traction. So their boots had to be right. They had to have on the right type of shoes, the right type of boots as they went into battle combat. So it is with you and I. So it is with you and me. The gospel of peace, the gospel of peace, the good news of peace should give you and I some stability in our Christian life. It should give us some traction as we go through this turbulent life, knowing that we have the gospel, that we have been born again, and we have the gospel of peace on our feet. The gospel is the good news. I said the gospel is good news. It's good news that through Christ, you and I have peace with God, and he is on our side. It's good to know that God is on my side. It's good to know that the Lord is on our side. That right there should give you some peace. He's on our side. So that gives you and I confidence that you and I, we can stand firm. We can stand firm against the wiles of the schemes of the devil because Christ is on our side. God is our strength. He is our strength. A very present help in a time of trouble. A very present help in a time of danger. He is our strength. He's our refuge. He's our high tower. He's our peace. One of the names for our Lord is Jehovah Shalom. The God of peace. The God of peace. He can give you peace even in the midst of a storm. He can give you peace even in the midst of a trial. He is our peace. Once again, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The ESV translation of the Bible says that verse this way, says, and as shoes for your feet, having put on, somebody say put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Put your shoes on. Put on the gospel of peace. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Our feet are the shoes of the gospel. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. I want you to see this. 1 Corinthians 15. Look at the gospel real briefly. Because as a Christian coming to church, we got to be clear on what the gospel is, right? G-O-S-P-E-L. Once again, G-O-S-P-E-L. God's only son provides eternal life. The gospel, the good news. The gospel is the good news. I'm going to say it again just for myself. The gospel is the good news. It's good news. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Listen to this. What Paul writes to the church at Corinth, to the church here at Love Fellowship today. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you receive and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. I know y'all thinking hard and maybe a few of y'all still turning. So let me say that again. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that saves us. It's because of his gospel that we are saved. We are born again because of his gospel, the good news. God's only son provides eternal life. So Paul said, I'm writing this to you, the gospel in which you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Here's the gospel, saints. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Part of the gospel is simple yet profound. It's simple yet complex. God died for your sins and my sins according to the scriptures. The gospel, the good news, all of your mess ups, all of my mess ups, past, present, and even future, Christ died for them. Now, that's not an excuse for sloppy living, really. That's encouragement for holy living. But isn't it amazing? Every sin you committed, every sin I've committed, every mess up I've done, Christ died for our sins. The just for the unjust. He died for the ungodly. God demonstrates his own love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I tell you, beloved, that's some good news. That's some good news. Somebody else would die for your mess ups and my mess ups. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. But not only did he just die. The text says he died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He was literally buried. And then he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. There it is. That's the gospel, saints. The good news is that Christ came down through 40 in two generations. The good news is that Jesus Christ lived a perfect, sinless, sin-free life. He went to the tomb, to the cross. He atoned for our sins. His substitutionary death on the cross. He was a propitiation for our sins. The wrath that you and I should have received. The wrath that you and I should have received. The punishment that we should have received. Christ received it. They nailed him to the cross. They nailed him to the cross. He died on the cross. He was buried, but he rose again with all power in his hands. And when he got up as a child of God, we got up. That's good news. That's good news that our sins have been atoned for. Our sins have been paid for. It's good news that we have been justified. We have been declared righteous. We've been sanctified. We've been set apart by the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that's the gospel. That's the good news. I agree with Paul. Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Gentile. Oh, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the good news that Christ died for my sins and rose again. That's good news. We need to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel. The good news, the gospel of peace. That we have peace with God. We have peace with God. You can be at enmity and at odds, going at war with anybody else. But if you got peace with God, if you got peace with God, he'll teach you how to make amends with everybody else. He'll teach you how to reconcile with others. If you got peace with God, you can be all right. So that's the good news. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The good news. God's only son provides eternal life. And he's the only way. I mean, let's make it real clear. He's the only way. Let's make sure we really sure clear on this. He's the only way. I beloved, I believe you know that. I hope you know that. Share that with others. Share that with your kids, your children, as they go back into high school, middle school, as they go off to college. Because many other people believe there are many other different ways. And I say emphatically, as your pastor this morning, there's only one way to be right with God. There's only one way to be right with God, and his name is Jesus. For there is salvation in no one else. There's salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. So we are saved in Christ. We grow in Christ. We are victorious in Christ. We are more than conquerors in Christ. It all comes through Christ. I said it all comes through Christ. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So hold fast to this word, Paul says. Hold fast to this truth. If you put your faith and trust in the fact that Jesus died for your sins, you can have peace. And you can stand against the attacks of the enemy, the attacks of the devil. Hold fast to it. Believe in it. Grasp it. Don't let anybody tell you anything different. Hold on to the fact that the gospel is the good news, that you are saved by Christ, by faith alone, through Christ alone, you're saved. Romans 5:1 says this, you might want to write this down if you're taking notes, says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. I'm not trying to be super profound or deep or anything like that this morning. That simple fact right there, since we've been justified by faith, we've been declared righteous, Brother Charlie, by faith, we have peace with God. Peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I have been declared righteous by God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a good place for amen. We have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Romans 5:1 says. So child of God, if you have the Lord on your side, you can make it. You can make it if you got the Lord on your side. You can make it if you got the Lord on your side. Romans 8:31 asks this question. It says, what then shall we say to these things? What then shall we say to these things? What shall we say? If God is for us, if God is for us, if God is for us, if God is for you, if God is for me, who can be against us? If the Lord is for you, who can be against you? That should bring you some peace this morning. If God is for you, who can be against you? So once again, since we have the peace, since we have peace with God, since we're in Christ, we receive the gospel, the good news, we've confessed our sins and repented and turned to Christ, since we have peace with God, also available to us, beloved, is the peace of God. Now, the peace with God, that's a documented fact. I know I'm saved, I'm born again, so I know I got peace with God. I know I got peace with God. I'm his son. If you're born again, you're his son, you're his daughter. Peace with God. But now the peace of God, that's a little more elusive sometimes. Come on now. I know you're full of the Spirit, you're full of the Word, you blessed and highly favored, but you're not at peace all the time. If you are, as soon as I finish preaching, we're gonna let you conduct a seminar and teach us all how we can be at peace at all times. I'm still working on that one. I'm growing in it. But if we have peace with God, though, so it's good, and the peace of God is available. So straight, it's available. But sometimes we forfeit it. Sometimes we don't operate that way. And here is a great verse. We all know this verse, Philippians 4:6. We know this verse. We quote it quite often, Philippians 4:6. But listen to this. The Lord tells us to be anxious for nothing. That's what he tells. He said, be anxious for nothing. Zero, nil, nothing, nada. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. Maybe that's part of the short circuit right there. He says, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer. Come to me in prayer and supplication. And he says, with thanksgiving. Then he says, let your requests be made known to God. So as a child of God, since we got peace with God, and since you put your shoes on, we can go to God with any and everything. Matter of fact, he says, bring all of your cares to me because I care for you. So he says, don't be anxious. Don't be stressed out. Don't be tripping. Don't be all full of anxiety. Don't be anxious for anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then he says, and the peace of God, and the peace of God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, which surpasses all human comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The Lord said, if you just bring it to me, you won't have to be stressing out. Watch this. The Bible says our God neither sleeps nor slumbers, right? So if you're up at night worrying over a particular problem, worrying about maybe how I'm going to get that bill paid, or worry about this particular thing at work, or worry about something in the family, or worry about some medical issue. If you're up all night worrying, the Lord has already said he neither sleeps nor slumbers, right? The Lord already said, I got it 24/7. So if he's up, you might as well go on, go to sleep. You might as well go on, get you a good nod in, because he got it under control. No need for both of us to be up, right? He said, I neither sleep nor slumbers. He said, I got this. I got you. I got this. And Jesus said it a little differently in Matthew 6 when they were talking, they were kind of anxious and fretful. And Jesus said, you all remember this. Jesus said, look, so check out the birds of the air. They don't go and have to gather and put into the barn. They're not worrying about what they're going to eat, but God takes care of them. Then he says, consider the lily of the fields. They kind of just do their thing. They're not worried. God takes care of them. And he said, you're much more valuable. Oh, he said, you're much more valuable. You're much more valuable than some robin, some sparrow, or some piece of grass. You're much more valuable than them. So if God takes care of them, surely he's going to take care of you. Surely he's going to take care of you, the child of God. The psalmist said it a little differently. He said, I was young. I'm just talking about putting your shoes on, the gospel of peace. The psalmist said, I was young, but now I'm old. But he said, one thing I haven't seen. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Oh, that's a good testimony. He said, I've lived a long time. I've seen a lot of stuff. I've seen a lot of things. I've seen a lot of people, but I've never seen the righteous, the child of God, suffering in need. Or God takes care of all of our needs. He's not only Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. He's also Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Can I get about three? Let me just do a house check real quick. Can I get about three or four witnesses that have some history of God that say God has always come through and has always met all of our needs? Let me try this side. God has always come through and has always met all of our needs. Let me try this side. God has always come through and has met all of our needs. He gave you salvation. He gives you deliverance. He woke you up this morning. He put food on the table. He put clothes on your back. He gave you a little hoop to ride around in. He gave you certain friends and things. He's giving you some kids and grandkids. He gives you friends. He gives you a job. He takes care of all of our needs. He's a good God. He said, I take care of all your needs. So put your shoes on. Walk in peace because I take care of all of your needs. Charge your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I don't know about you, sometimes when you look with your natural eyes, things look a little, you know, sometimes you ever experience it where you have more month than money. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. I'm about to get a loan for you after church. Some of y'all, but sometimes you got more month than money. Things just didn't quite add up right. But some way, somehow, God worked that thing out. God worked that thing out. I don't have a whole lot of like at the last penny type stories per se, but I got a few. I can think of times when I've gone to the mailbox and wasn't even necessarily expecting something and open a mailbox and get an unexpected check in the mail. Oh, y'all not hearing me. One time I had gone to the seminary, Covenant Theological Seminary in St. Louis, and I probably had been, I took two or three classes through them and, you know, I moved on to another seminary. And I'm serious, it probably had been like at least 2 years passed by. I mean, I'm out of the school about 2 years ago. I go to the mailbox, look, pull out the mailbox. It's a check from Covenant Theological Seminary. I say, so you paid us too much money. I said, praise the Lord. Thank God for a little increase. Thank God for an honest seminary too. That was like 2 years later. I mean, God has a way. He has a way of working things out. So he said, you don't have to be stressed out. You don't have to be full of anxiety. You know, he said, make sure you put your shoes on. Put on, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Because see, the devil, the enemy, and you know, usually, we got these three enemies, the flesh, the world, and the devil. And during this series, I'm mainly talking about the devil. He will try to whisper words that were in your ear that will have you all anxious and stressed out. He'll try to tell you, he ain't gonna work this one out. God ain't gonna provide this. This is a tough fix this time. You ain't gonna get out of that one. You gotta encourage yourself by the word of God. You gotta say, wait a minute, wait. The devil is a lie. Yeah, God has said he's gonna take care of me through this. I don't really know how. I don't really see how, but I know he's gonna come through. So put your shoes on. Put your shoes on. The Lord said, once again, we can take all of our cares to him. Let me take you back real quickly, real briefly to the early 90s. I was kind of a new Christian, and I was still working at TVA as a computer programmer. And me and my team lead guy, we were working together on projects. And we were working together on this program, this system we had developed for one of the nuclear plants to use. And so at TVA, those of you who know anything about TVA, like most jobs, it's a certain level of seriousness. But when you start dealing with nuclear plants, it's really serious. And I can see why. Because you mess up with those plants, they may have to shut the plant down. It'll cost them thousands, if not millions of dollars. Or if you do something really wrong, and let some of that nuclear stuff out, hey, all of us could be dead. Y'all remember Chernobyl, right, over in Russia back in the 80s? I mean, so people in the nuclear industry, a lot of them anyway, they kind of had a certain type of way to operate, kind of stern. Long story short, me and this coworker, and I'm talking about how you can live with peace rather than being stressed out as a Christian. On Monday, my team lead came in and had a message on his answering machine, and it was from this manager in the nuclear department that we did some work for, and he was irate. He was mad. Matter of fact, it was a profanity-laced message on my buddy's machine. For some of y'all, let me make it clear. He cussed my buddy out. Cursed him out using words you don't want to use normally. And so my buddy was a little nervous, you know, understandably so. And I was a little anxious. And the guy said, hey, that was Monday. Now, check this out. That was Monday. And the guy had the audacity to say, I want to meet with you. And Jerry, I want to meet with you all on Friday. Now, that's Monday. But he won't meet with us on Friday. Why don't we just meet with on Monday and get it over with, you know? So all week long, Monday evening, Tuesday, Wednesday, I love to say I had the peace of God. I love to say I was just cool all week long. I was a little stressed out that way. I said, this guy is crazy, and he already cussed my buddy out. Man, he don't know what he's going to do that Friday. And so the Friday, the meeting was like about 3 o'clock Friday evening. So the week goes on through, and here comes this Friday. And lo and behold, how God worked things out. That Friday, a friend of mine had passed away, a good Christian brother. And so I went to his funeral that Friday. It was around 12 o'clock. I said, man, I'll take a lunchtime. And we know the TVA lunch, you kind of extend the lunchtime. Everybody laughing but the TVA folks. I used to work at TVA. I know we extend those lunch hours sometimes. And so I went to the funeral, and lo and behold, I'm there at the funeral. And still a little stressed out thinking about that 3 o'clock meeting with this irate manager who had cursed my buddy out. And as I sat there in that funeral, I'll never forget it. And as the choir began to sing the songs of Zion, and as the word of God was read by different ministers, and then as the word of God, a real serious gospel-centered, Christ-centered message was preached during that eulogy, somewhere from about 12 o'clock to about 1:30, as I'm sitting in that funeral, somewhere in about 12 o'clock to about 1:30, the peace of God began to come over me. Oh, y'all not hearing me? And so I left that church feeling pretty good. And then I got back to TVA, picked up my buddy, and we had to drive to see the guy. And the guy, I'm feeling pretty good now. I was stressed out Tuesday. I was stressed out Wednesday. I was stressed out Thursday. But Friday, about mid-afternoon, I had a little peace. And my coworker, he wasn't a Christian. And so I told him, though, going into that meeting, I said, man, I think it's going to be all right. And so he was a little nervous. I'm not nervous now. And so we go into the meeting, and I look around, big old office, and I'm looking at his pictures on the wall. And once again, this is the guy that cursed out my buddy on Monday, had us stressed out all week. And I saw a picture on his wall of a Texas Tech football player. And I said, man, I said, hey, you used to go to Texas Tech. I'm from Arkansas. We used to play them in football. And this guy who was stern and mean immediately began to smile. And immediately went on for about 5 or 10 minutes talking about his college days and how he went to Texas Tech and all that. And lo and behold, that meeting, which we were dreading, which I was stressed out about all week long, that meeting ended up being a very, very good meeting. And I left that meeting with my buddy, and I said, never forget what he said. My buddy, who was unsaved, my buddy said, Gerald, I'm going to keep you with me all the time. I said, it was the Lord. He didn't totally understand it, but I'm just saying the Lord can give you peace even in the midst of some messed up situations. I wish I would realize that Monday or Tuesday that week rather than waiting to Friday. But God has peace available for the child of God. Whatever's going to happen this evening or tomorrow or next week, on your job, in your family, or in your neighborhood, whatever's going to happen, God already knows. He already can speak a word of peace to that situation. Matter of fact, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is our peace. I say He is our peace. He is the Prince of Peace. Romans 16:20, I'm almost in my seat. Romans 16:20 says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. That's Romans 16:20. It's good to have peace. Like I said, when you have peace, you don't have to worry about how I'm gonna pay that bill, or I might get laid off, or I'm worrying about this particular situation, or I'm worrying about this or that. Yes, take those things to the Lord. Take all your cares to Him because He cares for you, but you don't have to be stressing out over those situations. I said, you don't have to stress out over certain situations. Let me say that one more time. You don't have to stress out over certain situations because you have the God of peace on your side. You shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You put on your shoes, the right type of shoes, the gospel of peace. Now, if God cares enough about you and me to save our souls, if He cares enough about us to save us from a burning hell, surely He's going to take care of those little life, everyday situations we go through. What's the greater, eternal things or just these temporal things? Surely if He's taking care of the eternal thing, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. So if He's gone to prepare a place for us, and He has, surely He's going to walk with us and lead us through this place called planet Earth. Matter of fact, He sent us His Holy Spirit who's in us to lead us and to guide us. And that's a fruit of the Spirit is peace, love, joy, peace. Somebody say peace. Oh, I just like the sound of that peace. Shalom, peace. Isaiah 52:7 says, how lovely are the mountains, are the feet of Him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. The fact that our God reigns, the fact that we have salvation, we can have peace. See, in this spiritual battle, you need peace. I mean, in this hand-to-hand combat against the enemy, you need peace. Romans 10:15 says it this way. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. That's all I'm trying to do this morning. I'm trying to preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things, of good news. The fact that indeed, once again, we have the gospel of peace. Shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Matthew 5:9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called sons of God. You got to have peace. You got to have peace as part of your armor. You got to make sure that you have put on the right shoes. Put your shoes on the right shoes. 2 Corinthians 13:11 says this. Finally, brethren, rejoice. Somebody say rejoice. Be made complete. Be comforted. Be like-minded. Live in peace. And the God of love and 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 the God of peace will be with you. Finally, brother, rejoice. Be made complete. Be comforted. Be like mine. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace, the God of love and the God of peace will be with you. Once again, you have to remind yourself of this. You don't have to be stressed out. See, I have peace with God. So therefore, I can have and I should have the peace of God. See, something I'm firmly believe as a Christian, we're saved by faith, right? I said we're saved by faith, right? faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So just like I put my faith in the Lord that he's going to bring me on home to glory one day, and I know that's true. You got to have faith to say, hey, okay, today I'm stressing out. I'm kind of losing in this situation. I got faith in the Lord that I don't have to be stressed out like this. I don't have to have this type of anxiety. Like, I don't have to be all just wondering, how am I going to make it? How am I going to get from point A to point B? Because you have the peace of God. The peace of God is available. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. So shod at your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Put your shoes on. The right type of shoes. The gospel of peace. Live in peace, the gospel of peace, and share it with others. Share it with others. Don't just hold on to it or hoard it. Share it with others. Share the good news with others. The gospel of peace. Beloved, I'll leave you with this biblical account about how Christ can, just like he did with that TVA situation for me, how he can speak peace into a stormy situation. You all know the time. You all know this account. I have some Bible readers in the house. You all know this account when Jesus was on the ship, right? And he told his disciples, they missed this, Sister Bray, they missed this, Sister Scott. He told his disciples, he said, we're going to the other side. Somebody missed that. They missed that. Jesus said, we're going to the other side. So Jesus went on down to the bottom of the ship and went to sleep. Got him some sleep. He was tired. You know, he's all God, yet he was all man. So he was tired. He needed some rest. And he's knowing they're going to the other side. The Lord didn't send him here to drown. But lo and behold, here comes a storm. The storms of life came. And first, the disciples did just like you and I would probably do. Men and them were expert fishermen. First, they said, hey, we can handle this storm. Brother Curry, they said, we can handle this storm. So Peter and the guys were trying to handle the storm on their own. And finally, they said, man, we had never seen a storm like this. This is a terrible storm. We need some other help. We need some other help. And then I give them credit on it. Then they kind of remembered, if you will, that Jesus Christ was on board. See, sometimes we got to remember, saying that Christ is on board. That he's on our side. That God is on our side. And so these boys who thought they could handle the storm on their own, of course, Jesus had told them, we're going to the other side. They went down, woke up Jesus, and then they kind of lose some points right here, though. They woke up Jesus. And they said, care us not, master. Care us not that we perish. Based on Jesus, you don't care we're going to die here in this water? Now, how can they say something like that? How can they say something like that to our Lord? Now let's be honest. Let's be honest. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But all of us at times, sometimes we get in a tough situation, in a hot situation. We say some crazy stuff sometimes. Lord, why did you let this happen? And a lot of times it's our own fault anyway. So he said, Lord, you don't even care. We're going to all die here in the middle of this body of water. And I can see Jesus getting up and kind of wiping the sleep from his eyes and say, oh, ye a little faith. And went out on the billow of the ship. And this is what Jesus did. And he's still doing it today. In the midst of that turbulent storm, in the midst of that chaos, in the midst of them being real frightful and anxious and nervous and all stressed out, Jesus said three words. Three words. Said, peace, be still. I can see the winds and the waves and the storms that were acting a fool, the tornadoes and the tsunamis acting a fool. And they said, wait a minute. We hear our master. We hear our creator. We better calm down. We better be still. And the winds and the waves were still. And the disciples said, what manner of man is this? Who is this that even the winds and the waves hear him and subside? I'm telling you, we serve a Savior who has that same power today to speak peace in the midst of a chaotic situation. If you're in a storm, he can say, peace, be still. Maybe you just came out of a storm. All of us are either in a storm, going into a storm, or just came out of a storm. But it's good to know that we have a God who says, put your shoes on. Put on the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I can gain peace even in the midst of a stormy situation. I'm not promising you that the storm is going to always go away. But I am promising you that God can give you the peace. He can give you the joy to withstand the tough situation. He might not remove the thorn out of the flesh. But he said, my grace is sufficient. Anybody know what I'm talking about? My grace is sufficient. That storm is just really keeping you humble. That storm is just really keeping you at my feet. That storm is just really causing you to worship and praise me all the way. You can praise your way through a storm. You can praise your way through a storm. And the Lord will give you his peace. He will give you his, I know what I'm talking about. He'll give you his peace even in the midst of a stormy and a chaotic situation. Like you just wasn't going to make it. Do I have a couple of witnesses? You didn't think you were going to make it through the storm. But God, his grace, his mercy, his shalom, his peace brought you through that thing. And then you look back and say, man, I don't even know how I made it. I don't know how I made it. I just know it was the Lord on my side. It was the Lord who led me through. It was his peace. It was his shalom. It was his goodness. It was his grace that he brought me through this. And I'm going to go tell somebody else about the goodness of God. I'm going to go tell somebody else, put your shoes on. Put your shoes on. Put the preparation of the gospel peace on your shoes. Oh, give him a hand clap of praise. I'm through. He is a God of peace. He can't say peace be still. He can speak peace to a turbulent situation. He can speak peace to a stormy situation. He can bring peace to a troubled heart, a troubled mind. God can speak peace to that situation. Can he do it? Can he do it? Won't he do it? Hadn't he done it? His track record is impeccable. His track record goes on. He's done it. He's done it for me, and he can do it for you. And he's done it for you and you and you. He can bring you through. He can bring you through. I feel pretty good. He can bring you through a stormy situation. Why? Because I got peace. I got the gospel of peace. I've shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I got the one who is in control, the master of peace is with me. Beloved, since we have peace with God, say the redeemer God, since we have peace with God, we can experience, we can have the peace of God. The peace of God. Because we have peace with God. That's step number one. Now, you can't have the peace of God if you don't have peace with God. In other words, if you're not redeemed, if you're not saved, if you're not born again, you can't have the peace of God. But if you're in Christ and he's in you, if you've been clothed in his righteousness, if you got peace with God, he's your father, he's your daddy, Abba Father, he can give you his peace. Don't be like me on that work week, that Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, forfeiting peace. Be like I was later on that Friday when I received the peace of God. Everybody stand, please. Put on your shoes. Put on the right shoes. In this spiritual warfare, you got to walk in the peace of God. The gospel of peace. The good news. God's only Son provides eternal life. This morning, if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, if you need peace with God, you can come this morning. You can come this morning. Amen. Is there anyone else? You can come. Amen, Jeremiah. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? You want to come and receive peace. Be justified. Be declared righteous. Be sanctified. Be set apart. Be made right with God. That's the most important thing. That's the most important decision you can make in your life, is a decision to surrender to him. To him who is able to give you peace. To him who is able to give you shalom. Is there anyone here today? You are saved, but looking for a church home? You can come today. You can come today for salvation. Or even maybe right now as we sing, maybe you might say, Lord, yeah, I have been allowing certain things to stress me out more than they should. Lord, I'm bringing those things to you today. Show me what to do. Show me how to handle this situation. Give me your peace, even in the midst of turbulent times. Even in the midst of the storm, give me your peace. Give me your peace. Shower me with your presence, your direction, your wisdom, your guidance. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. Get the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Put Put your shoes on. Put your shoes on, the right type of shoes. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the good news. Sometimes in life, even when everything else is falling apart, even when it doesn't seem like it's getting any better, if you just meditate on the Lord and say, wait a minute, I'm a child of God. And I know I'm his and he's mine. And my eternal destiny is secure. And from here to there, I know he's going to work this thing out. He's going to work this thing out. Any visitors, if you're visiting with us, just raise your hand, please. All right, Brother Ricky. Hey, God bless you, brother. God bless you. Good to see you. Met him Thursday night at the revival, and he was in the men's Bible study this morning. And